Mark chapter 8, in your Bible. The context of our reading this morning was the fact that Jesus predicted to the disciples that he was going to die. He is going to be rejected by the religious leaders. He's going to be condemned to death. He's going to die. And he's going to rise again. Peter rebuked him. Lord, let it not be so. You know, Peter had something confused that many people have confused today. Most people have the whole issue of loss and gain mixed up. They have the principle of loss and gain mixed up. In life, many times gain is loss. And loss is gain. In our context, it is true, Jesus is saying that there's going to be a great loss, but it's going to be a great gain. He's going to lose his life. He's going to be killed, crucified in Calvary's cross. Be rejected of men. But oh, what a great gain. You're going to pay for the sins of the world. You're going to rise again, the living Savior. What appears to the world as a loss is many times a very great gain. And then we find Jesus talking about being a disciple. And he uses that same principle of loss and gain with discipleship. And he uses this principle of worldly gain is most often spiritual loss. And worldly loss is typically spiritual gain. And so he has a number of specifics of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And he says, first of all, he says, now if you're going to be a disciple of mine, you're going to have to lose something. He says, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to lose something really big. You have to say no to yourself. He says, if you're going to follow me, you're going to take up your cross. Who'd want to do that? Rejection, suffering, pain. Loss. He says, now if you're going to be my disciple, you're going to have to suffer loss. That's what he's saying. Man says, I don't want to lose anything. And so he says, verse 35, whosoever will save his life will lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, the same shall save it. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Oh. Wow. See the whole principle of gain and loss. What shall a man give in exchange for a soul? As we look at this, I'd like to, as we think about this principle of of gain and loss. You know, marketers sell things on the basis. I was talking to Brother Mike yesterday, who were talking about this. He says marketers sell things on the basis of gain. Do this, you're going to get so many customers. Do this, you're going to get so many sales. Do this, you're going to gain, gain, gain. He says, but accountants don't think that way. Accountants put both categories in the calculation. The gain versus loss. You know, it might cost you more to get more customers. Then you get from those customers. And your gain could be a loss. Right? But the marketer is always about, this is what you're going to get. Here's the gain. Well, you know, it's that way spiritually. The devil said to Adam and Eve, hey, look at what you're going to gain. He didn't tell her what she was going to lose. The devil tempted Jesus, said, hey, look at, you can turn this stone into bread. You can fall, jump down from the temple. Everybody's going to worship you. Oh, you're going to gain something. He didn't tell him what he would lose if he did it. You know, the devil's all about tempting people with what they telling them what they're going to lose. Now, it's amazing. As I was thinking about this, you see, typically the gain is something you can see. And the loss is something you can't see. Typically, the gain is something very credible, and the loss is something that's very secret or unknown. I was thinking about some examples of this issue of is the loss or the gain greater? Is the loss greater or the gain greater? Now, obviously, there's a verse that puts it really clear here. It says, verse 36, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So, number one, you can gain the whole world, but you would lose your own soul. Which is greater? Which is greater? Gaining the world? All its riches, fame, glory? What's greater? Oh, the fact is, the loss is far greater than what you'd gain. Right? The loss is far greater than what you gain. Isn't that a major issue of life? I can get this much more money doing this, but what is it going to cost you? What's going to cost your conscience? What's it going to cost your character? What's it going to cost your family? You know what I mean? You know, they say that many people lose their health gaining their wealth. And then they have to spend their wealth to regain their health. Was it worth it? You can gain the whole world, but lose your own soul. The devil tempts us with gain. You know, you can become more popular or more fashionable with your shorter skirts, ladies. With your more worldly makeup, more worldly jewelry. But what will it cost you spiritually? What did it cost you spiritually? You see, people don't think about the loss, do they? People almost never think about what they're going to lose when they go after the world. Oh, you know what? You can become more worldly. And you can gain, oh man, what can you gain? You can gain, oh, you can gain friends. But what did you lose in your spiritual walk? You know what? You can decide that, you know, I'm going to start, I don't need to be in church every service. You know, I want a little bit more time to myself. Oh, really? But what did you lose in the process? You know what? Most losses are uncalculable. Can I say that? Calculable. I can't say it. You can't calculate the loss. It's unknown. It's invisible. It's spiritual. How would you ever know what you lost? You wouldn't know what you lost. And people don't know what they lose, do they? Notice it says, verse 38, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed. Wow. You can gain the world's approval. But at what cost? You know, you don't look like an old frumpy grandma anymore. You're up to fashion now. But what did it cost you? You don't witness out like you used to. You used to carry tracts, talk to people about the Lord. But now they like you because you're a nice Christian now. You're not pushy. What did you lose? You got the approval of the world. You know, that's really amazing. It says, very simple. If you're ashamed of me, you're ashamed of looking like a Christian. You're ashamed to talk like a Christian. I mean a Bible Christian, not the trendy, churchy Christianity. By the way, I hope you read the billboard. The Revised Version is, we stand for unchanging truth of a timeless kingdom. Not the trendy trends of a corrupting culture. Should I say it again? We stand for timeless truths of an eternal kingdom, not for trendy trends of a decaying culture. Whosoever will be ashamed of me in this wicked and adulterous generation. What is this? What's the payoff? Gain the approval of the world? Guess what you lose? The approval of Jesus. Is it worth it? This world's not very long. This life's very short. Eternity is forever. You know, this is a truth throughout the Bible. Malachi chapter 3. Let's turn there. Last book in the Old Testament. You know, most spiritual things have the appearance of a loss. Did you know that? Most spiritual things have the appearance of a loss. And that that is a reality. Oh, if I become a Christian, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't go there. As though not going someplace is more important than your soul in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever. Notice this. This is the same truth here. Malachi 3. Verse 7. Jesus, God says, return unto me and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Now, of course, Malachi is written during the final apostasy of Judaism before the 400 silent years before Christ came. After this, we hear nothing. They hear nothing from God till John the Baptist. Nothing from God. Because they continued on in their apostasy, and God says, that's it. End of the book. But notice the status of Israel. It says, he says, return to me. Verse 8, he says, will a man rob God? You mean, what do you mean, rob God? Who would ever be foolish enough to, go to God and say, stick him up, give me your money? You know, that's the question. And they said, will a man rob God? And their answer is, of course not. And then God says, yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And God says, in tithes and offerings. And of course, a tithe is an English word for a tenth. Then he says, well, put it this way. Guess what? You know what they gained? They gained their money, right? What's the difference between 90% and 100%? 10%. They kept God's 10% for themselves. They thought they were gaining. Do you ever think that way? Okay, just think how much I gave last year. Man, if I wouldn't have given that, I could have bought me a car. You know what? God forbid you ever think that way. And I never do until I just did that sinful thing. Right there, saying that. But you know what? That's what the world thinks. I'm losing my money. I'm wasting my money. Well, what does God say? He says, verse 9, you're cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. What do you say? You can gain a tithe, but really you're losing God's blessing. What's bigger? God's blessing? Man, can you imagine a father of a family supposedly raising his kids for God? How can you do it without God's help? Huh? Think you can do it without God's help? But they don't tithe. They don't tithe. God says they're cursed with a curse. That's pretty bad, isn't it? So he says you kept the tithe yourself, but you got a double curse. One is you got a curse on your soul. And number two, you got a curse on your pocketbook. Because God's going to get his 10%. He's bigger than you and I. He'll always get his 10%. I remember this one guy, Bible college graduate. He says, I never tithe. I never had enough money to tithe. And I looked at him. And he got married and he kept on his pathway. And he's always in financial trouble. He got into these payday loan thing scams. You know what? Pretty soon he was paying 2 to 3 times as much interest a week as his tithe would have been. Nonetheless, the spiritual curse on a soul. Notice what God said. If you have faith, he says, you'll bring the tithes into the storehouse. There may be meat in my house. God's work will be blessed. And God says, prove me. If I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast your fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Wow. You know, farmers are about as close to nature as they can be. Doesn't take long to get God to get his tithe back. You know, you can lose a tithe. You can give your tithe, but what you're going to gain? You know what you're going to gain? You're going to gain God's blessing and his continuous promise of provision. God promises to take that 90% and make it more than the 100%. That's God's promise. It's a promise only understood by obedience and faith. That's the only way it's understood. You aren't going to see any billboard that says, tithe and you'll be blessed. You know? Probably, if you haven't tithed, you probably have to tithe in your worst financial position you've ever been in. Big step of faith. But Brother Mike shared another good story with me. I guess it was David Cloud this week. Talked about an evangelist, old-time evangelist in Texas. And he was a good man. And he preached. And he's very poor. He had a larger family. And really struggled to build a supply for his family. And one day there was a businessman, Christmas businessman, that was in the area, and he was speaking at different churches, and this evangelist provided his transportation to these different churches for these different meetings. And in the process of time, the businessman said to this good man, this evangelist, says, "Do you tithe?" And evangelist says, I can't afford to tithe. I got a large family. We barely scraped together even food. How can I tithe?" And the evangelist, the businessman said to the evangelist, he says, "You know, I'm a wealthy businessman. I'll tell you what. You begin to tithe. And if at any time you don't have your needs met, you just write me and I'll take care of whatever your needs are." And the evangelist says, Okay. I'll begin to tithe." Well, he began to tithe. Guess what? He never wrote the wealthy businessman. Never needed to. You know why? God supplied all his needs. And then the evangelist's heart was smitten by the Holy Spirit. You could trust a wealthy businessman that he would take care of you. But you couldn't trust me, the God of heaven. You know, you see that principle? Gain versus loss. You can figure you're going to gain that 10% for yourself. But you know what? The spiritual loss is far greater. The spiritual loss is far greater. You can say, "Man, I can't afford to tithe." Man, God says the gain is far greater than any loss that you would ever experience. God says he'll provide your needs. He'll make that 90% go further than that. Besides that, he will bless you and you'll understand faith. You see, is the loss greater or the gain greater? If you turn to Hebrews chapter 11, you see that this principle is continually in life. Of course, this is the story of Moses. Moses was raised as the Pharaoh's daughter in Egypt, the wealthiest nation in the world. He is raised in the court. And you can imagine, everything was available to him. All the pleasures of the world. He was not in a situation where he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. because he was the Pharaoh's Pharaoh's daughter's son. But the Bible tells us that Moses, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. In other words, he had figured out which is the bigger, the better reward. He said he chose to rather suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know, you can enjoy the pleasures of sin. That's right. There's pleasures in sin. That's what you can choose. I mean, a lot of people choose that. The pleasures of sin. Pleasures are available everywhere. But is it worth it? Is it worth it? What are you gaining? Oh, I'm gaining the pleasure of sin. But what are you losing? You're losing something that's beyond price. Purity. A good conscience. Peace. Wholesomeness. A right relationship with God. That's pretty big. But you know what? A person who makes that choice, it never enters, maybe I shouldn't say never, but you know what? They don't know what they're losing. They don't know what wholesomeness is. They don't know what true purity is. They never experience it. They don't know what it is. They don't know what they're losing. You know, that's why a lot of people don't get saved. They say, well, I want to live a little bit more. Yeah, live in the pleasure of sin. But they aren't calculating what they're losing. They're not calculating the cost of that addiction. They don't calculate where it's going to lead them. They don't calculate all the things. They think they're going to gain something. They don't know what they're losing. You know, young person, wow. You can follow the world, but let me guarantee you have no idea what you're losing. You have no idea what you're losing. If you did, you wouldn't make that choice. You know, we have to ask ourselves that question. Is the loss greater or is the gain greater? Everything in life. Is the loss greater or the gain greater? Most people only think of what they supposedly are going to gain by whatever it is. You know, the consumer-friendly churches, I guarantee you, they think they're gaining everything. They don't have a clue what they've lost. And the people who go there, they think they gained everything, and they don't have a clue what they lost. Don't have a clue. We're in this blinded society. What does it take to follow God? It takes faith. It takes faith. You can't see, just as people can't see the loss when they follow the world, neither can we see the gain when we say no to the world. It's always later. It's always later. Many times it's years down the road. It wouldn't be a faith if we could figure it all out. Wouldn't be a faith if you could figure it all out. It is of faith. I remember my friend Mike Mack. He ran a mechanic shop. He got saved. He was about 40 years old, 38, I guess, when he got saved. And we had a conference. I think it was a missions conference, and the missionary preacher preached on tithing. And Mike came forward and made a decision to start tithing. And he and I became pretty good friends. In fact, we had some farming ventures together. We had a good time. And he said to me, he said, "Pastor, you know what? When I made that decision to start tithing, I was just barely, you know, kind of making ends meet in my business. And you know, money comes in, money goes out, and he said, there's no way as a businessman I can start tithing. Not a chance. He says, but you know, God spoke to me, I saw it in the Bible, and I made a decision. He says, you know what? He says, I'm doing better than I ever did before. I got more money left over than I ever did before. He says, you know, when I started tithing, I figured it was going to get a lot worse, but I was going to do it for God. Well, that's faith, isn't it? That's the illustration of the principle. God says, okay, you're going to lose something. But that's like salvation, isn't it? Repent. And believe the gospel. Repent of going your own way. Repent of your sin. And of course, you know, repentance makes it kind of easy, because when we see how ugly and awful sin is, it isn't so hard to want to live a different life. But for the lost people who haven't repented, oh man, I could never stop living that wicked life. I love it! But wow, Zach, would you ever trade it, huh? That old life, ever trade it? Oh, it's like trading a wreck for a Cadillac. You know what I mean? You never would trade it, but it was by faith. Amen. Do you ever think how great it was to be saved? Did you know? Could you have any imagine how great it is being saved? No. Before? No. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. It's faith. But it's the principle. And of course, the principle was certainly illustrated by our Savior, who gave Himself up for us that the whole world might be able to be saved. Oh, it seemed like a great loss, but oh, what a great gain. Yeah, it takes obedience. follow the Lord. You don't always understand it, but you know you have to obey God. You know you have to obey God. You know, that's not too much of a choice if you're a real Christian. If you're a real Christian, it's really not much of a choice. You got this choice. Okay, I'm gonna obey God or I'm gonna disobey God. Is that a choice? If you're a Christian? Well, it is, but it isn't. You know why? Because it's crazy to decide to disobey God. What kind of future do you have if you decide to disobey God? Absolutely none. Not as a Christian. You might have a great future as a worldly, godless, carnal person, but you'll have no future as a Christian. Might as well just hang up the coat on the rack. You know what I'm saying? Just saying that figuratively. You got to obey God. And that obedience involves surrender. Okay, Lord. Okay, Lord. Okay, Lord. Okay. Your way. It's the best way. You know, the Bible's just telling us. That the gain is masked in loss. The gain is masked in loss. And even if it wasn't masked and lost, the issue is still the most important part of our life is our relationship with God. And whatever it is that you would want, or the devil would promise you, and the result would be that you would lose your relationship with God, it's not worth it. Amen? It's not worth it. It's not worth it. What shall it profit man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You know what? I guarantee you that you'll not find this sermon on TV unless you're listening to some religious program. But you're not going to find this in the world, are you? You're not going to find it in Milwaukee Journal. You aren't going to find it in Time magazine. You're not going to find a public school textbook. It's all about gain the world. And there's nothing about lose your own soul. You know, getting kind of close to home here. Christian, you can make some little compromises. You can make some little compromises. But I guarantee you, you will have no idea what it will cost you. You have no idea what it will cost you. That's scary. If you're young, that little compromise will cost you a lot down the road. A lot. Might not seem like much now, But I guarantee you, it will cost you a lot. And you will never know what you lost. We're in the battle of life. We have to make sure that we calculate things correctly. Spiritual gain is usually a worldly loss. A worldly gain is always a spiritual loss. If a person has to violate truth and obedience to get it. You'll find out about this a little bit later, most of you, but you know, the Lord spoke to my heart this week about this principle. And the sermon wasn't about what I was thinking about, what I was dealing with. But it came to my realization that the gain is nothing compared to the possible spiritual loss. And I made a specific decision. I said, that's it. It's not going to happen. We can't afford to lose something spiritual for a mere outward gain. And that's what life is all about, isn't it? Maybe your soul today is on the line. Maybe the fact is you've lost part of your soul. You lost part of your soul because you wanted to be approved by the world. You lost your soul because you wanted to fit in more with the fashion of the world. Oh, you're there now. But you lost something mighty big. You know, I think of these churches that say, hey, you know what? This Sunday night church stuff, that's really inconvenient. I tell you what we'll do. We're Baptists, so we got to have evening service. So what we'll do is we'll have morning service, and then we'll have lunch, and then we'll have evening service. And then everybody can go home. You know, 2:30. Man, they don't know what they're losing. They don't have a clue what they're losing. How many are going to make life-changing decisions after lunch and they're tired, and the preacher's tired too? How many are going to make life-changing decisions when they're going to church just to get it over with? Huh? Very seldom it's going to happen. They're just trying to fulfill an obligation. But there's something bigger than that. They're losing a lot. I say, and I could be wrong, but I say that's the first step to spiritual death. Now, there might be some extenuating circumstances in different places, but that's just my opinion. And you know what? I guarantee you they don't have people for the afternoon service that weren't there for the morning service. You know, praise the Lord, when you got an evening service, you get some people that weren't there for the morning. Amen? Right? You know what the problem is? They don't have enough people coming to evening service, so they got to keep them all there, won't let them go. I mean, wow. But I'm just illustrating the fact. You know, they think they're gaining something, but they're losing far more than they're gaining. That's the principle of life, isn't it? And we could just preach on all sorts of stuff. And then more people could come to me and said, you stepped on my toes. But that's not the purpose. In fact, I was just teasing Jerry last week because Jerry, he has a health problem and his toes were tingling, you know. And he was sharing with me his health need. And I says, Jerry, I know what the problem was. I just stepped on your toes during the preaching. No. So what? Where are you? Say, man, I don't want to follow God. I don't want to give my life totally to Him. You know what's going to cost me? It's going to cost me friends. People are going to say I'm crazy. You know what's going to cost me? It's going to cost me the pleasures of sin. You know what's going to cost me? Yeah. Your future soul and relationship to God. That's what's going to cost you. That's what it's all about. There is a cost. I hope that you have that calculated. What the real cost is. And not deceived by the devil's lie of what you're going to gain by following him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, that your Holy Spirit, even now, will help your people as needed, where needed, to come to see the real issue of the fact that oftentimes the loss isn't calculated. Are bigger than we probably know when we make the wrong decision and hope something that's not worth gaining. And Lord, there might be those that have already made that decision and already suffering a loss of relationship with God. They're backslidden. Their heart is hard. And Lord, how many millions of dollars would they have to pay to get their heart right with God? It's not possible. It's not. You can never put that in monetary figures. Lord, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Help us to see the devil as is trying to tempt us with something so we could have some kind of gain, but it's all about losing spiritually. It might even be about salvation. And so, Lord, work in our hearts. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you're here today, you say, you know, I've been tempted to think there was a gain in getting the world's approval. Maybe you thought there was a gain in going that new way. That gain from the world. Even maybe tonight, today, you realize you've lost something in your soul. The Lord has woken you up today. And you say, Pastor, God's speaking my heart. It's not worth it. I'm not going that route. The loss, the possible loss, is more than I could bear thinking about. God has spoken to your heart today. So, you know, I need to live by faith, obedience to God, and realize that what I lose for Christ, the gain is going to be far greater. You say, Pastor, God spoke to my heart. Specific decision I've made today for God. The gain really wasn't a gain. The gain was a loss. I can't afford to lose the spiritual things that are on the line. But an uplifted hand, say, Pastor, God's made clear to me what I ought to do. And by uplifted hand, say, yeah, I'm making that decision, or I'm praying, God, that you'll pray for me, that I will make that decision before this service is over. And God's spoken to your heart. Anyone here today? Okay. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Others? Okay. Amen. Perhaps you're here, you're unsaved. You say, man, I love the world. I love the sin of the world. I love the fashion of the world. I love all that. I couldn't give that up. Really? It's all changing all the time. What you're giving up is really your soul. Your soul's more important than any sin. Say, Pastor, I need to be saved. I need to be saved. I need to be born again. I need a new heart. I need to be converted. And I just realized that I'm on the wrong pathway. Pastor, pray for me. I need to be saved. Anyone here today? Lift up your hand wherever you might be. Okay, God bless you. Amen. Anyone else? Lord, thank you now for ministering to us today. Help us to park on this great truth. Thank you for, Lord, some that have really put it together, and you're able to lead them in the path. Pray, Lord, that you'll just solidify that decision of faith in their life, of obedience and surrender to you. And, Lord, the discovery of the blessing is yet ahead. But give them faith, Lord, in that. And now, Lord, we pray for those souls that need you. Lord, there's always obstacles, spiritual obstacles. I pray that you would deal with them, take them away, replace confusion with understanding where needed. Lord, and so we commit souls to you today to know Jesus and to live for him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor John, come lead us in the closing hymn. It's a hymn of invitation. And if you need to do some business with God, encourage you.